So it might seem a little bit strange to those of you who think about these things, which perhaps is none of you, but if you do, it might seem strange to you to reflect on the fact that the Sunday before I am going away on holiday and study leave, that I should not be preaching. I mean, why? I need an extra Sunday off. But if you're going to sort of fit in with the schedules with some people, you have to kind of strike when the iron's hot and go when they're available. And so, this morning, we have a child of the parish who has been a part of this community. How old do you think you were, David, when you first came here?
Before I could walk.
Hey?
Before I could walk.
Before you could walk. Wow. 4 years old. No, just... So David and Caleb have been a part of this community for many, many years, and Grandma's here this morning, and Mom and Dad are suffering somewhere on a sailboat, aren't they right now? Or are they? Hornby Island, right, Hornby Island, so poor them, but they'll be okay. So David is going to come and speak to us about his plans for the coming year, and they are exciting and interesting plans, so let's pray for him as he comes to speak. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the calls that you give us in ministry. Thank you for your call in David's life. That you would bless him now as he speaks, and that through him we may be inspired by your word through Christ our Lord. Amen. Yes, do you want to, or you could? Yeah, that's good. Okay, take this, take that away, stick it over on the organ, and then you're good to go.
This?
Yep. All right.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here and share with you this morning. I'm really excited for today. So, yeah, just a bit of direction for this morning. I'm going to be sharing a bit about slavery and injustice in the Bible, and then I'm going to talk a bit about slavery and injustice today. I'm also going to talk about the God of justice that we believe in and the good news in that. And then I'm also going to talk a little bit about a justice organization that I'm going to be serving with in the Philippines for a year, in a little over a month. And so that's kind of a bit of the direction of where we're going this morning. And yeah, to start off with a big thank you to you all as a congregation for your support and love over the years. And Christopher mentioned earlier in an email that the missions committee is put forth, and you guys are supporting me financially in my trip down to the Philippines, and that means a lot to me, so thank you. Yeah, great. So in the Bible we see that there is no shortage of slavery and injustice. We see that the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt for over 400 years. We see the Assyrian and Babylonian captivity that they endured, and yeah, the Jews have been one of the most heavily persecuted people groups throughout history. There's plenty of examples of injustice in the Bible as well, that the Israelites are both on the receiving end of and also the giving end of, whether that be murder or rape or property theft or exploitation of the poor, not paying of wages. There's lots of examples that we see. And so much of the writings of the prophets is a writing of rebuke and calling out of the religious and political leaders, or just the people of God, for acting unjustly. So, yeah, let's take a look at a bit about slavery and injustice today. So, unfortunately, slavery is not just an issue of the past, but very much is an issue today. So if we go to the next slide, we see that over 40 million people are being held as slaves today. And the sad fact is this is more than any other time in history. So slavery definitely is a massive issue today. We may ask, what sort of forms does that take? Some of those forms are forced labor, sex trafficking, child labor, cyber sex trafficking, domestic servitude would be some of the bigger examples. Also, not just slavery, but the issue of violence and injustice. If we go to the next slide, this is plaguing the world, particularly, you probably can't read the small print, but particularly the poor are vulnerable because the law systems in place don't protect them oftentimes. And so some of these forms can look like police brutality, citizenship rights abuses, land theft, gang violence, and more. So yeah, I'll just maybe share a couple stories of some of these modern day issues to get some, make it a little more tangible. First, we'll start with David's story. David is from a community outside of Nairobi, and he's walking on Sunday through the streets with a friend, and there's two local police officers drinking in the bar. They run out of money, and so they take David, they throw him in the car, and they threaten him, and they steal his money. He coughs up $1.50, and they let him out, and as he's walking away, one of the cops draws his guns and shoots him in the side and in the arm. David just collapses. Thankfully, though, there was a hospital just across the street, and they were able to save his life. They had to amputate his arm because the break was so bad, as we can see in the next slide. And in what circumstances suggest to be a cover-up attempt, he was then arrested for and charged with robbery with violence. So just an incredibly unjust scenario, and he was just out for a walk on Sunday. Another story that I don't have photos for, but is a story about forced prostitution, which to me is one of the saddest forms of slavery today. And it's basically just rape for profit. And so, there's a story of a girl named Jo T, and the president of my organization met her when he was doing work in Asia. She's a 14-year-old girl from a rural poor area. And one day, a woman came to her village and offered her a job in the city, a good-paying job that she could then provide money for her family and hopefully bring them out of slavery, out of poverty. And she decides to go. And on the way to the city, they gave her some tea, which was drugged, and she becomes unconscious. And instead of taking her to the city to get a good job, they take her to the red light district, where they sell her to a brothel for $250. She's then taken underground underneath the brothel and is beaten for multiple days until she's forced to provide sex for her customers there. She will service between 20 and 30 men a day, 7 days a week, and that's not an exaggeration, and she will never leave the brothel. And unfortunately, this is a reality for a lot of people today in our world. UNICEF tells us that around 1 million children a year are taken into prostitution. And we may be able to ask, how is this even possible? And it's really the issue of impunity is one of the big ones. And as this slide shows us here, it says in South Asia, statistics indicate you are more likely to be struck by lightning than be sent to prison for holding someone a slave. And this unfortunate reality that people know they can do atrocious things and get away with it. And these stories are from across the world in more developing countries, but also the issues of injustice are definitely prevalent in Canada too. Human trafficking as well is a big issue. Unfortunately, our Indigenous peoples are target and vulnerable in this sense and are victims of so much injustice. So it's not just an issue of the developing world, modern day slavery. So yeah, bit of a heavy start to the message. You guys can take a deep breath. It's gonna kind of move a little bit more hopeful from here. You might feel a little bit pinned to your pews with these kind of sad statistics and stories, but it is a heavy issue, but I think it's important to address. So let's talk about the good news. What is the good news about the injustice? The good news is that God is against it. So we see in this verse, it says, Psalm 35 verse 10 says, "With every bone in my body, I will praise him. Lord, who can compare with you? Who else rescues the helpless from the strong? Who else protects the helpless and the poor from those who rob him?" Read in the New Testament reading this morning from Luke 4, how Jesus has come to set the captives free. We have a God who is outraged by injustice and does not turn a blind eye to it, but is very active in combating it. We see in our Exodus reading this morning from Exodus 3 that God sees the oppression of his people. He hears their cry, and he is coming down to rescue them. So we rejoice, we say hallelujah, this is great news. God is coming down to end injustice, to end these issues of slavery. That is awesome, God. We are so thankful. And we ask him, God, what is your plan? How are you planning on doing this? We're really excited to hear this plan of rescue. And we turn to God for this answer, and God says, you're the plan. And we pause and we say, what? Yeah, you're the plan. We see in Exodus 3, God saying, I've come down to rescue them. Now go, Moses, for I'm sending you to lead Israel out of Egypt. And there's all throughout Scripture, there is a call of God to his people to act with justice. And Micah 6:8 would be a prime example. He has shown you, O man, what is right, but to do good, to act justly, to love mercy and walk humbly with that God. So we might be a little bit, we won't get quite to that slide yet. We might be a little bit, God, I'm not sure this is the best idea. I don't know if you know, but humans are not really the most reliable. Sometimes we tend to not do exactly what we ought to. Do you have like a plan B just in case, we don't really like follow through or show up with this? No, plan B, you're the plan. So this is pretty crazy that, God is calling us into this work. It is certainly, God is the one doing the work, but we are the means for that work to be done. It's with our hands and feet, but by his strength. So, there can be no doubt that God is giving us the work of justice in this world. So let's talk a bit about what are we doing about it? What are we doing about justice in this world? When it comes to Christian humanitarian work, the primary focus has been by far on mercy and compassion ministries as opposed to justice ministries. There's lots of schools being built for girls or building houses for widows or building wells, these sorts of things, which are all really good. But the problem is we're finding that these things aren't reaching their potential. I was researching poverty alleviation and community development while in college and saying, why are these amazing efforts not reaching nearly their potential? And the problem became very clear. It was the problem of violence and impunity. So, for example, with building the houses for the widows, organization comes in and builds a house, they leave, then the next week some people come in, beat up the widow, throw her off her land, and steal the property. There's some areas in some countries in Africa where 1 in 4 women have reported being a victim of this. 1 in 4 widows, sorry. And we build a school to educate girls because we know how much that can transform a community. But the girls, a lot of them don't go to school because they're either molested at school or along the way. And so this problem of violence and impunity is a major hinderer. I believe that we'll not see a significant decrease in poverty without a decrease in violence and the end of impunity. So this is where justice ministries come in. And so I want to talk a little bit about one of these ministries, which is International Justice Mission, which is this slide here. International Justice Mission, this is the organization I'll be serving with in the Philippines. They are the largest and most effective international anti-slavery organization in the world. They operate with Christ as their source and their center. It's a team of almost 1,200 employees responding to the call that they feel of God leading them to help lead people out of bondage and slavery and into freedom. So a little bit about their method. As you see on this slide, IJAM protects the poor from violence by partnering with local authorities to first thing there says rescue victims. So they help local authorities find people suffering from violence and oppression and bring them to safety. The second thing they focus on is restraining the criminals. And so they partner with police to restrain criminals, traffickers, and slave owners from further hurting more people. And another thing they do is they restore survivors. So they're really into aftercare. They provide trauma therapy and counseling to survivors of violence. And we work with partners to give survivors education, job training, and tools they need to thrive. And the final of the four things there is they repair systems, identifying gaps in the ways that systems protect the poor, and then work with police, prosecutors, courts, and social welfare agencies to address these complex challenges. So, yeah, just a couple statistics as we see on the next slide. This is some statistics from Cebu in the Philippines. This is where I will be going in the Philippines. And this office received a grant from the Gates Foundation back in 2006, I believe. And the grant, the goal was to reduce the amount of minors available for sex by 20% over the course of 5 years. They thought if this could be achieved, this would be an amazing result. And as we see in the next slide, that IGM was actually, by the grace of God and the power of God, able to blow that out of the water. And as we see on the next slide, we see the results. It was a 79% reduction in Cebu. And they applied a similar model to two other major cities in the Philippines where sex trafficking was an issue. And in Manila, we were able to reduce the rate by 75%, and in Pampanga, 86%. So these are absolutely amazing results that people were very surprised at and would have thought to be impossible. So remember the stories I told you at the beginning? We'll continue David's story. And we see that IGM heard about the cause of David and defended David, and the robbery charges were dropped. David is no longer being held in prison thanks to IGM local lawyers. David's not in prison, he's in law school. And the five police officers who are responsible for the injustice are now the ones in prison. There's some photos of him actually. Yeah, that's a photo with him with our president, Gary Haugen. And the bottom photo, that's him being called to the bar, I believe. And it was really amazing to see the victory and freedom brought in David's life by God through International Justice Mission. And for Joe T, IGM was able to send undercover investigators to infiltrate the brothel and find her, take the information to their secure police contacts, and do a raid to get her into a place of long-term aftercare. In this time, she actually came to know Jesus, and after some years of healing and transformation, she came to IGM and said, "I know where there's more girls being kept in slavery," and she was able to give IGM the resources to lead another raid and rescue seven girls, one of which was named Kalinda. And similarly, after going through some counseling and healing, she came to IGM and said, "I know where there's still more girls," and she gave them the resources to do another raid and rescue 24 girls from an underground, what was described as more like a dungeon than anything. So just an amazing chain reaction of love that's just been outpouring, just starting from, just these people, and just starting with one girl, just searching for one girl, and just leading to so many more rescues. So, and there's thousands, if not millions, of more stories of deliverance and freedom, and rescue, just like this. And there's one more slide, I think. Yeah, that's a photo of David with his child. And I want to finish with just one encouragement and one question for you. So my encouragement to you is that God is yearning to do miracles. All we have to do is provide what we have and offer it to him, and he'll multiply it. It's just like the little boy in the story of the feeding the 5,000. He gives what he has, and the Lord takes it and multiplies it into something amazing. And God is yearning to do the miraculous, and all we have to do is offer him what we have, and he'll do more than we could ever ask or imagine with it. And my question, as we head into our time of silence, the question I leave with you is, how might God be leading you to take part in justice here on earth?